It is a sure sign of the apostasy of popular Christendom that many of their practices are based upon elements of the Law of Moses, despite the clear and labored teaching considered above that Christians should not observe this law, seeing that it has been done away in Christ. We will now consider the more obvious ways in which the Law of Moses is the basis of present Christian practice. Priests. The Orthodox, Catholic, and Anglican churches openly use a system of human priesthood. The Roman Catholics see the Pope as their equivalent of the Jewish high priest. There is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, 1 Timothy 2, verse 5. It is impossible, therefore, that the Pope or priests can be our mediators, as the priests were under the Old Covenant. Christ is now our high priest in heaven, offering our prayers to God. There is absolutely no biblical evidence that the authority possessed by the Spirit-gifted elders of the first century, for example Peter, was passed on to successive generations, or to the Pope in particular. Even if the possibility of this were admitted, there is no way of proving that the Pope and priests personally are those upon whom the spiritual mantle of the first century elders has fallen. The miraculous spirit gifts having been withdrawn, all believers have equal access to the spirit word in the Bible. See Studies 2, Section 2, and Study 2, Section 4. They are therefore all brethren, none having any more spiritually exalted a position than another. Indeed, all true believers are members of a new priesthood by reason of their baptism into Christ, in the sense that they show forth the light of God to a dark world, 1 Peter 2, verse 9. They will therefore become the king priests of the kingdom when it is established upon earth at Christ's return, Revelation 5, verse 10. The Catholic practice of calling their priests Father, and Pope means Father too, is in flat contradiction to Christ's clear words. Do not call anyone on earth your Father, for one is your Father, he who is in heaven. Matthew 23, verse 9. Indeed, Jesus warned against granting any fellow man the sort of spiritual respect demanded by modern priests. But you, do not be called Rabbi, that is, teacher, for one is your teacher, the Christ, and you are all brethren. Matthew chapter 23, verse 8. The ornate robes worn by priests, bishops, and other clergymen have their basis in the special clothing worn by the Mosaic priests and high priest. This clothing pointed forward to the perfect character of Christ, and as with all the law, its purpose has now been fulfilled. It is indeed heartbreaking that clothing which was intended to extol the glory of Christ is now used to advance the glory of the men who wear it, some of whom admit that they do not accept Christ's resurrection or even the personal existence of God. The Catholic idea that Mary is a priest is grossly wrong. Our requests are in Christ's name, not Mary's. John chapter 14, verse 13 and 14, chapter 15, verse 16, chapter 16, verses 23 to 26. Christ is our only high priest, not Mary. Jesus rebuked Mary when she tried to get him to do things for others, John chapter 2, verses 2 to 4. God, not Mary, brings men to Christ, John chapter 6, verse 44.
Tithing. This too was part of the Mosaic law, Numbers 18, verse 21, whereby the Jews were to donate a tenth of their substance to the priestly tribe of Levi. Seeing that there is now no human priesthood, it can no longer be obligatory to pay a tithe to any church elders. Again, one false idea, in this case concerning priests, has led to another, that is, tithing. God himself does not need our offerings, seeing that all belongs to him, Psalm 50 verses 8 to 13, we are only giving back to God what he has given us, 1 Chronicles 29 verse 14. It is impossible for us to gain salvation as a result of our material offerings, for example, in financial terms. In gratitude for God's great gift to us, we should not just offer a tenth of our money, but our whole lives. Paul set an example in this, truly practicing what he preached. He said, "Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship." Romans 12, verse 1. Food. The Jewish law categorized certain foods as unclean, a practice adopted by some denominations today, especially regarding pork. Because of Christ's removing of the law on the cross, it says in Colossians 2, verses 14 to 16, "Do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink." Thus, the Mosaic commands concerning these things have been done away, seeing that Christ has now come. It was he to whom the clean foods pointed forward. Jesus clearly explained that nothing a man eats can spiritually defile him. It is what comes out of the heart which does this. Mark 7, verses 15 to 23. In saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean. Peter was taught the same lesson, Acts chapter 10, verses 14 and 15, as was Paul. "I know and am convinced by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself." Romans 14, 14. Earlier in verse 2, Paul had reasoned that to refuse certain foods was a sign of spiritual weakness. Our attitude to food does not commend us to God, 1 Corinthians 8, verse 8. Most incriminating of all is the warning that apostate Christians would teach men to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth, 1 Timothy 4, verse 3.